Hello again. I hope that you're all doing very well. I've realized throughout this process how often I used to begin sermons by saying how good it is to see all of you. And I think that if I use that today, you wouldn't believe me. It's a very new experience for me speaking to and preaching to people that I can't see at all, that aren't here in the room with me. But I'm very glad that you're listening and hope, as always, that these are going to provide some kind of benefit to you. Again, thank you for your time and attention and tuning in for a little bit. During this very strange time that we have all been enduring together, you are likely feeling the absence of certain things. We mention regularly here in Houston, a lot of friends from the congregation here and just friends in general, we talk so often about how much we miss seeing each other, how much we miss worshiping together. And I imagine wherever you are, that's something that you're feeling very keenly. You want to be able to get together with the people that you usually assemble with, and that has been an impossibility lately. And we just miss that. You really want that to be the case again. You almost certainly have family and friends that you're not getting to see as often as you would like to. If at all, you miss your job, you miss going to school, you miss going shopping, just being able to go out on a Saturday and browse through some garage sales. I would really love to watch a baseball game or a basketball game, or I would watch a hockey game, just any kind of competition that was new, that isn't a tape of something that I know the outcome to. I would just be thrilled to see that. Really, right now, we're just all very aware of how good some things really were that we no longer have, at least for the time being. So, in many ways, my message today is not anything novel. It's not anything that you haven't considered, probably. But the message for us simply is to take nothing for granted. Some things, first of all, are too good to be taken for granted. They just provide too much benefit and shouldn't be overlooked. Beth mentioned this tragedy kind of just last week. We were out taking Bonnie for a walk. And it was getting on towards sunset, and there was just the most beautiful sky. Blue sky, light blue background, but it was kind of a rainy type day, or had been earlier, so a lot of clouds out, but just that white and gray and silver, and the sun rays coming through the clouds in about five different spots. The glory is what Beth calls that. She calls those rays glory. I've never heard anyone refer to them that way, but I like that. I think it's a pretty apt description of those beautiful sights that we see through the clouds sometimes. But we saw that wonderful sky and we noticed it. We liked it. And in fairness to us, we did spend a little bit of time looking at it and enjoying it. But then we just continued on with our walk and went on and started talking about other things and started looking at other things and really had more or less forgotten about it before too very long. Every city that I've ever lived in, I have rarely done the things that people visit that place to do, the big sights, the big attractions. Most citizens of a place don't make use of that. We go over to Europe and we see their centuries-old castles and cathedrals and palaces and all of these wonderful things, but the locals aren't going sightseeing every day. There aren't people who live in Venice that are taking pictures of every bridge they cross and every street corner, like we do when we go over there. And apparently, that's a pretty common human problem. Across every other thing that divides us, we seem to have that in common. We just get too used to the things around us, even the things that are really incredible on their own right, when we give ourselves a chance to stop and to really enjoy them. Read with me from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we begin in verse number 10. Moses warns the people, I guess would be the best verb to use there, warns the people before they are to go into the land of Canaan. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You're not a stranger to the admonition to count your blessings. I'd even go beyond that by a step and say, enjoy your blessings. We might fall into that trap that the Israelites did of having all these good things around us and really just forgetting where they came from, forgetting how good they are, forgetting how much we enjoy them and how, whatever word you choose, lucky, blessed, we are to have those things at our disposal. Those fine houses, those fine fields, those fine things that fill up the fine houses. Do we forget that? Do we not appreciate that? Do we not enjoy those things, or do we take them for granted? So don't just make an inventory, count your blessings, name them one by one. Allow yourself to truly experience them. When you find that beautiful sunset that God has made and that he has put in his sky, sit down for a moment and actually enjoy it. Experience it a little bit. Bring your kids outside. Let them look at it. Watch the colors shift, and set aside that 5 minutes that it takes for so much to change in so short a period of time, and just devote that time to being in awe of what he has made and what he has allowed you to enjoy. Enjoy the wonderful taste of that food that God gave you. Don't just wolf it down like our dogs do when we throw them a treat. Savor it and think about how happy I am that we have sustenance that tastes like this, that I can really enjoy. Savor those hugs from loved ones that God gave you, and be thankful that you have that time with them and that you have that nearness to them and that they are returning that love to you. Look at the good things that you have in this life and be thankful for them. Don't take them for granted. The preacher says to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, and really this is, in many senses, the theme of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. But chapter 2 and verse 24 tells us, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. He recognizes, as we must, some things are simply too good to take for granted. Enjoy them. But some things are too short-lived to be taken for granted. And of course, this is really when we usually realize that we have failed to appreciate something when it's gone. Then we wish we had it. Then we wish we had savored it a little bit more. And then we think of how short it seems that the time was that we actually had it. A pressing danger in life is that it keeps on moving. And it doesn't move at the same pace. I might move more slowly than you do, or vice versa. And things don't always line up and just go on with us perpetually. Some things get left behind, or they leave us behind. Been thinking about this a lot lately, of course. We're getting ready to move. We're getting ready to leave behind the place that I have been for 8.5 years. Beth has been here with me for nearly that long. And when I think back to that time, and when I think now about leaving it, as excited as we are about coming north, and believe me, we are, but I still look around and think, I wish I had a little bit more time to get some things done. There were some conversations I didn't get to have that I wish I had. There were some things that I never got to do that I wish I had not left undone. And there's always that sense of incompletion. Of course, you look at that idea and think, you had almost a decade, you had 8.5 years. Why didn't you get them done? But I would imagine that's not something that is unique to me. We probably all have those things in our lives, boxes that we never checked off, things that we just never made the time to do. In so many areas of our lives, we find ourselves wishing, again, if you are anything like me, and I'm just banking on the fact that you probably are in some ways. And so many things, we just wish that we had more time. But the truth of it is, there's really no such thing as more time. We never get more time, we just get time. You get 24 hours a day, you get 7 days a week, you get 52 weeks a year, you get the same that I get. And that all goes on for each of us for that undetermined and uncertain amount of life that each one of us might be allotted. What would more time even be? 25 hours a day? 8 days a week? 53 weeks in a year? We all know we're not going to receive that. More time is a lie. So the solution is not in hoping that time will stretch out for as long as we want it to, and that when we find something we need done, that we'll get this extra bonus somehow and be able to accomplish the things that we wish we had done when we did have time. That is simply not going to happen. So we have to find the answer in doing what we're talking about this morning, not taking it for granted, not taking time itself for granted. Think of the rich fool that we meet in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. A short parable that Jesus tells, often referred to as the parable of the rich fool. He did not realize that on the very night he was planning his grand, luxurious retirement, he had had a bumper crop. He was planning on building these larger barns to hold all of that excess. He says, now I'm never going to have to work again. I can just take my ease, retire, enjoy life. He did not realize that that very night his soul was required of him. His life would end. Think of the parable or the story maybe that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 16, beginning there in verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus. Another rich man living the high life, enjoying these sumptuous feasts every night, wearing these fine clothes, enjoying all the good things that he has in his life with no thought for tomorrow, with no thought for the fact that those good things wouldn't last, that all of that has an expiration date. Nothing is guaranteed. Not today's blessings, not tomorrow itself. Nothing that we look and see around us is guaranteed to be here tomorrow. And it is guaranteed that it won't always be here. We simply can't take the time that we have, what we have right now, for granted at all. You will, when your loved ones leave, they move away, when they die and leave us permanently, you'll miss them. You'll wish that they were here. You'll wish that you had had more time. But we realize when we truly think about it, you won't have more time at some point. So the answer is to enjoy them now. You will feel like, I'm told, and I feel like I'm already getting a little bit of experience in the fact that your children will grow up so fast. Again, is the answer going to be in slowing that down some way, shrinking them back into a baby and getting to do it all over again? You won't be able to do that. So you have to enjoy and make the most of those moments that you get now. You may not always have the security and the wealth that you have now, if that is the case for you, if that applies, that you're riding one of those times of plenty. That may not always be there. So you have to use that year of plenty to prepare for the year of famine and to be wise and to utilize the gifts that you have now to be wise with your future. Recognize that nothing in this world lasts, but use that knowledge to be thankful and to be prudent in each minute that we are given. Sometimes we simply can't take time itself for granted. Recognize that everything we have is impermanent, is short-lived. But some things, finally, are simply too necessary to be taken for granted. There is an ultimate irony in that we often fail to give any thought or to give any thanks for the things that are most necessary to our survival, to simply making it another minute. We mention sometimes, but outside of public prayer, it is difficult to remember to be grateful for air to breathe. You hear that mentioned sometimes when someone leads a prayer publicly. Lord, we thank you even for the air that we breathe, for the next breath that we take. But that's a difficult thing to be mindful of very often. Certainly not for the thousands of times that you exercise that every day. When was the last time we praised God for having water? We just think about those things, those, you know, spread it out, expand it as much as you want to, or condense it down and think on the microscopic level as much as you want to, but just consider for a moment all those meticulously designed systems that are at work around us and within us at all times. Laws of nature, ecosystems, celestial movements that govern our world and our seasons and the temperature and the kind of air that we have to breathe, the atmosphere that we find ourselves in, the intricate processes of the human body and everything that is going on even as we speak that is keeping us ticking for just another second. All those things doing their jobs without, almost all the time, any recognition from us. Now, this idea that we often take the necessary things for granted, spiritually, that idea is our greatest concern. To not overlook and take for granted those things that are absolutely necessary. And by that, I'm not talking anymore about air or water or shelter. Think back to Luke chapter 12, that rich man that we mentioned a moment ago. He dies, all of his crops, all of his big barns, they aren't his anymore. They don't matter to him anymore. So what does he have left? What does he, or what do we have to realize for him, is the only thing that he truly needed, the only thing that did truly matter. We already saw what the Lord says to him there in verse 20. This night, your soul will be required of you. Everything else has ceased to matter for him at that point. Only one thing holds any value, his soul. Maybe quite a bit of this lesson, those first two points in many ways, just kind of been an encouragement to live with gratitude, to enjoy the moments that we have, to enjoy the countless blessings that God has granted to us, and that is important. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't believe that it was necessary and useful for us to do that. But it is absolutely essential that we determine what is important above everything else and assign it the true value that it holds, and remember and think about regularly the true value that that one important thing really holds. So today, I would encourage you to recognize the importance, the value of your soul, and of having a soul that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that has had its sins covered, washed away, taken care of by his sacrifice on our behalf, by his grace towards us. This earth and all that it holds, everything that we see, everything that we cannot possibly see if we had an entire lifetime, everything that exists will one day cease to be and will cease to matter. What will be important then? And what are we taking for granted right now? I hope nothing. I hope we're giving thought to the things that are of greatest importance. Look at a couple of parables in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, if you begin in verse 44, of course, that entire chapter in Matthew's gospel is focused on Jesus speaking in parables. It has a number of parables, usually almost all of them, about the kingdom of God. But Jesus, in verses 44 through 46, delivers two very short parables, short, straight to the point, about the nature of the kingdom. He says, beginning in verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one, that pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." That is the disciple's attitude. That is how the true disciple of Jesus Christ pursues the kingdom. He will stop at nothing to find it. He will stop at nothing to attain it. He would never forget about it. He would never disregard it. He would never cease to be thankful when he had found it. It's the most important thing in the world to him. And in fact, if we kind of use that analogy from those two parables, it's kind of the only thing that he has in the world. He has sold everything that he has in order to acquire that kingdom. Understand?